Hello, this is Courtney from Spellcast, and before we get started with our episode, we have a little promo for you from The Haunted Ride. Enjoy!
Hi, I'm Alyssa Cummins from The Haunted Ride, a paranormal podcast dedicated to you and your experiences. I know what it's like to have something happen to you that's unexplainable, and how it feels to want to tell someone but you're concerned they may think you're crazy. Whether it's a disembodied voice, an apparition, or something you just can't explain, this is your place to share it. So come tune in with me every week while we discuss anything and everything that falls into our paranormal and supernatural world. Because ghosts are out there, and if you're not careful, they will get you.
Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of Spellcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andriel.
Greetings, friends. Tonight we're going to get a little bit hands-on, and we are going to do a before and after commercial break Reiki session on our beloved host.
Yes, so we thought we would change things up in the format of our episodes, and Andriel is going to tell us about his Reiki training, in addition to what he's already talked about in our Reiki episode part one and part two. So we're going to see how far he's come. And then after the commercial break, we're going to have an experience recording of what happened to me, because he's going to do Reiki on me tonight. So we thought it'd be a really cool thing. It's slightly inspired by our coven on Patreon, because they like to know more about us personally. So I thought I would mix that into an episode. So Andrea, why don't you let us know where you are in regards to your Reiki education, and also how things are going for you?
Fair enough. So, I am a level 2 Reiki practitioner. If I recall the names of the particular levels, because there are three levels, at least in traditional Reiki. If you get to other sects of Reiki, sometimes people kind of split up the master division into a few categories, change the numbers. It kind of depends on which school of thought or variation of a school of thought that you go through. There is a Shoden, I believe, is level 1, and then there's Okuden, which is level 2, and then there's Master, which the name is escaping me, truth be told, right now. In retrospect, I probably should have had one of my books in front of me to be a little more comprehensive.
But, okay, you haven't done the mastery yet, so.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, well, that much you can, like, read out of the books. But I'm coming to the end of my level two. Well, I finished my level 2 certification. I'm a level 2 practitioner. And starting next week, I'm going to go with my lovely teacher once again to finally get the master certification.
And for anyone that's just joining us, that's Kate that was with us for the Reiki 1 and 2. That's his Reiki teacher, and she's wonderful. So if you guys really love those episodes, let us know, because we'd love to have her back on to talk more about it, especially talking about how she does the master's classes. And so with level 2 then, Andriel, what exactly does that mean you can do so far?
Okay, so level 1, you are essentially attuned to the Reiki. Now, the attunement process, now I'm going to tell you some about my experience, but I will leave certain things out because there is a respect of certain types of tradition that has been instilled in me and is instilled in many others in the practice. Even though nowadays you can go on the internet and probably look up certain things, I will not be the one to tell it over this, simply out of respect for my master and out of respect for the Reiki and the craft in and of itself.
So you can learn it if you want to become a Reiki master yourself.
Yes. So the first level of Reiki, the attunement process, essentially, as I'm certain we've stated in our previous
episodes.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're recording this like pretty late. So
that's the word. The last installment.
But to be fair, the reason we're doing this, I did explain it a little on our social media. But for anyone that didn't catch it, we wanted to make sure this was a live experience, so to speak. So that's why we waited, because this is around the time at the end of the week that we had to do a Reiki healing. So it's very pertinent that this happens as we're doing it. So, like, the episode we have to record right before the Reiki session and right after, because we want it to be authentic and I want to have everything fresh in my head. So that's why the episode's coming out so late. Thanks for hanging out.
Fair enough. So continuing on, essentially the attunement process. Essentially, you are attuned by a master, in case that wasn't painfully obvious. A master has the ability and the symbols attuned to them and their being to be able to share the Reiki energy and open up a person's specific channels to receive and be a channel to that said Reiki energy. Once you have been attuned, you are attuned for life. You are attuned for your existence. That is essentially what it is. That is what has been passed down. Though the original Reiki practitioner, Dr. Usui, he had received it through a particular divine situation when he was on Mount Karuna. He was able to transfer and attune to other students before he had passed away.
That's so interesting to me that you can be attuned for life.
Yes, the how the concept is understood is that there's a particular type of channel that everyone has. Everyone has the ability, and the attunement process simply opens that channel.
Oh, it's permanent. I mean, that's kind of like the thing I would assume as well with like any other spiritual and like paranormal connections, that like if your channels are open for those sorts of things, they're kind of permanently open. I mean, you can close yourself off, but I feel like the main channel is always open for like spiritual psychic connections. So it makes sense that it's like that with the chakra energy as well.
Oh yes, very much so. Well, I mean, yes, Reiki directly affects the chakras, and the chi meridians, anything, you know, in regards to energy, your being. You know, we've talked about this before. It's like the word energy in many different languages, or however they use it to describe the spiritual energy, has been described by many different words. I mean, there's chi, ki, ti.
Tea gives me energy. And I'm talking about the liquid. Melissa knows that from the Haunted Ride. She's always like, get your tea ready. So she gets it.
There is prana and, you know, the chakras, you know, there are, and, you know, here in the English-speaking Western world, we say energy. So, you know, things like that. I'd also say it's essentially the same thing as magic, though Reiki is from a particular type of source. Unlike other forms of energy healing, Reiki can do no harm because it's channeled exclusively through a higher energy that will only go through a specific channel of a person who is attuned. Mm. That being said, there are many different types of Reiki, and there are many different types of techniques that people develop, and all sorts of practitioners have developed their own style. That's how they've been able to survive and adapt and be able to help as many people as they have.
And I know you do kind of a unique version of Reiki yourself.
Yes. So essentially,
a drinking game word today?
Essentially?
I think you said it like three times.
I did? you know what? I think I said that in a few other ones. Yeah. It seems to happen after 9 o'clock.
Because you just want to have a sophisticated word, and so essentially
It's better than going, duh!
And just having a brain fart.
Or, you know, insert expletive here.
Yeah. It's a good...
I'm trying to meander in episodes, friends. I'm trying not to get too comfortable in one particular area. I mean, you've heard me speak in at least 5 different accents over the course of this series.
And no one wants to have the same drinking game over and over again, so at least it's a different word every time.
You know what? I'm thinking we should start having a drinking game where we just say drink randomly, like mid-sentence, like we're talking, and I'm just like, drink! You know?
Is it the meow thing?
Yeah.
What are you doing right meow?
Right meow. Super Troopers.
Super Troopers.
Super Troopers.
For anyone that's seen that movie, you know what's up. I love that scene.
Oh, you like weird movies,
Courtney. I do. And they have a new TV show, actually, about firefighters, so I kind of want to check it out.
Anyway.
Tangent. Over.
So...
Don't say essentially.
Yeah.
You're talking about your personal practices of Reiki. And
yes, okay, so I'm going to give the preface as to why it is I think this way and Perfect. Why it is. Just so other Reiki practitioners listening don't start to shut off their brain or feel as though I'm doing something wrong or like, nope, that's not Reiki. You shouldn't do that or whatever. Not mm-hmm. that I'm accusing anyone of doing that, but I'm also making an assumption based on education of
and you wanna,
standard
you
human
explain
psychology.
Yourself instead of just being like, yes, I'm doing this crazy thing. Like, you know what I mean? There's a reason. There's
yes, I'm absolutely batshit. Yeah.
And that your main focus is still healing and being attuned to Reiki, like you said, that energy can do no wrong. So.
Yes. So essentially, and
yeah.
I brought.
Drink. Go ahead.
In layman's terms.
There you go.
Rudimentarily.
I'm going to make that a thing if you just keep repeating synonyms for things now.
Pugs.
Oh my God.
That's a shout out to Ahmed. So yes, what it is? So to to break. Well, so now you're like giving me looks, getting me all nervous.
I'm sorry.
I'm not nervous. So what am I giving you this power for?
How do you begin? What is different?
So the reasons why I think this way are for a few things that I've come to in paradox of understanding philosophy, both from a Western perspective and an Eastern perspective, a Western understanding of Eastern perspective.
And to be fair, I mean, we are Westerners in a good way, not in like the detrimental society way. But since we do live on the Western side of the world, I think it would only make sense that you kind of bring your own experiences into something.
Very much so.
In the positive way, not the negative Western way. Gross.
You know, to give some foundation, Reiki, obviously by the Japanese word, strongly gives away that this particular practice is done from a Japanese cultural philosophy and perspective. Mm-hmm. So there is a heavy emphasis on an Eastern perspectives of honor and respect and self-discipline. Now, in the prayers, here's where the paradox lies, and you have to go with your intuition. And I would love to debate, if there are other Reiki masters who are listening to this, I'd love to sit and I'd love to have a respectable debate. And that's the thing, when people hear the word debate nowadays, they tend to think it's synonymous with the word fight, and that's really not... what it is we're about, you know. Yeah. Debate is actually learning from each other. Well, it's learning from each other and mm-hmm.
and knowing why people think a certain way,
considering other things, not just trying to shove your view and be a. You know, there's a difference between debating and being a polemic or a polemist.
Yeah.
And to give you folks at home a little vocabulary lesson, I'm pretty sure I've said this one before in previous podcasts, but a polemic or a polemist, essentially, think Senator Joseph McCarthy. Or like Richard Wagner, you know, like people that just will belittle. They will belittle the other side of the argument and like crap on it. And they'll bring a bunch of red herrings into things at times. Some people use that word a little bit more graciously. Like certain people like to use the word polemic to describe themselves in a way that's like, oh, I'm on the side of what it is I believe in. And I will belittle things that crap on my side of thinking. That's fine, but there's a difference between crapping on something and criticizing it, if I'm to be abundantly clear. But usually examples of that word are usually viewed as one-sided and usually portrayed by people who are seen as a lot angrier and a lot more displaced passionate than others.
Yeah,
hence the two examples that I'd given.
We like educated, classy debates. Or if you just want to talk about it in general, we would love to interview any Reiki practitioners and have you on the show to talk about your experiences. And, you know, we want to learn all different ways of doing things, because Andriel is sharing his experiences and the way that he's come into his own practice. So we'd love to hear that from other people.
Yes. But continuing on. So, yes, the Japanese perspective, the Japanese philosophy in tandem with Eastern philosophy as a whole in comparison to Western philosophy. And, philosophy is what led to spirituality, views on spirituality, and those views on spirituality is what shaped countries. Countries shape culture. Culture shapes subculture, and subculture shapes people. You know, there is a hierarchy and a formula to all of this. So, that being said, My paradox was, is that the biggest thing in Reiki, and from also the, which shares this same view in Eastern philosophy, is that when you have a self-discipline, you put, at least in the translations, all ego aside. Now, I very much look at the whole ego as the middle between the id and the superego, you know, the medium between those higher energies and the lower energies, and that's what we exist in, you know, the light, the darkness, the push to pull, the yin, the yang, you know, we've said this all before. Now, the ego is supposed to be a happy medium between those two things, not a destructive medium between those two things. That's where true balance lies. Now, I want to make a preface that I don't believe that other people who follow those ways of thinking, I don't believe that this way of thinking is better or worse, simply different, and I also think it works as well.
A good addition to other things.
Yes, I mean, well, like, think most ideas have other webs and branches of ideas. Or other entire trees altogether, if you want to separate it that much. I say, yeah, you know, putting all ego aside. Now, ego is a very multifaceted umbrella term. People use it to describe anything that recognizes yourself over another person. Some people will say, like, oh, your ego, you hear the phrase, oh, you know, keep your ego in check, or you're being egotistical. So, you know, it's usually connotated negatively, especially in this modern day and age, in regards to anything spiritual, anything magical, anything that works with... Drop the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just slipped out of my hands. anything that has to do with... oh man, I'm so sorry. I totally derailed. And
so do you want to finish the thought? Can you remember what it was?
Yes, now I have it. You know, truth be told, actually, I just got a text from my Reiki master.
Oh.
She's looking to listen to some of the other past episodes.
Oh, cool.
Truth be told, I have to text her. But we're going to finish this first half first.
Please finish the thought. Yes,
the suspense. What if we're all just working you? Yeah, we're probably doing that. but ego is also like how you recognize yourself. Like your being, recognizing yourself as a person is ego. You know, and you can get into the psychology of what ego is.
Yes. Tied to it,
well, yeah, know? Much like most things and what it is we talk about, these things just exist and this is what they are. And too much of one thing is bad. But the balance is where it is we seek to go. Now, the concept of ego in Eastern culture is very different than it is in Western culture. And also different, and there are even subcultures in like Western culture. I mean, if you just look at the Catholic perspective versus the Protestant perspective as to how to serve particular deities and spiritual beliefs. So all in that case, you know, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of Protestants tend to criticize Catholics for having a lot of types of statues because they see it as idol worship. Well, it's not necessarily idol worship. It's more about the art is a gift to this higher power, and that the statue is a medium and a focal point, not just to literally be a transfer of your energy to that higher power, but also a focal point to your mind that causes
something that you're actually like,
evocation, you know. When you evoke, it makes it easier to invoke. You know, that's the difference. And that's the things that need to be taken into account. I'm not saying one type of worship is better than the other, but I'm just saying that there are some things to consider. And I also understand why people in the Protestant side may think that when not given the context of what that is. And there's when understanding context, people always, and I've talked to Courtney about this a lot in a lot of our conversations, with a lot of our friends and a lot of our, you know, people that are in our coven or come to our coven, is that understanding the context in which a word is used involves understanding the context of not only the language and the culture that it is being said from, but also the context of who that person is not just on a conscious level, but on a subconscious and unconscious level, mm-hmm. which implies a primal understanding of a person. So that's when I say, when you do you really know somebody? So always be very, 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 I'm not going to say apprehensive, but cautious when you attempt to criticize someone, because 9 times out of 10, most people aren't bad people.
Yeah, they don't mean,
and even if someone says something that's just out in left field stupid, you should consider again where it's coming from and don't take things so personally, especially if someone is ignorant of something. Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for education then.
Yes. And that in and of itself is the ancient Greek way of thinking by the Socratic method.
So that was a relative tangent, but...
yes, no, but it all needs to be put into context.
It really is a good time.
Long story short, I hear in one vein, you must put all ego aside. It must be, you know, just... it must be just Reiki. It must be just that, which is fine. It's like, I get it. It's just like you want to use, if you're using just higher power, if you use like your power, there might be some things that might not jive with that particular energy. But there is also something to be said about earthier energy in tandem with higher energy that makes existence the way it is. And also the big thing that gets to me is that, like, literally in the same sentences, they'll say, oh, okay, put all ego aside. But also... don't be afraid to develop your own techniques. Well, your own techniques implies your own specific thought on something. Now, granted, you can channel that from a higher power, but your understanding of it literally is an imprint of your particular ego, which is something to keep in mind. That being said, I want to... I was in Paradox, and I wanted to figure out, okay, how can I find a nice medium between these things? And, you know, a lot of it does come from asking the Reiki and any other higher powers that I'm channeling and anything that I'm, you know, channeling within myself. Just really, I assume you'd have to really know yourself, which is what I strive to do constantly and what I try to, you know, I try to practice what it is I preach. I kind of look at Reiki Reiki is like air. And the air passing through, let's say, an instrument, like a woodwind or a brass. All that's passing through there is air. But the particular techniques, on top of the construction and or the construct and the timbre of the instrument, determine how that air will make a particular sound. And that particular sound has its own timbre, color, resonance, uses, symbolism. And, you know, the list goes on.
When a musician explains this to you, is that's exactly the metaphor they use.
Very much so. And we will talk more about the magic of music very soon, now that we've brought up the chakras in previous episodes mm-hmm. with Ignatius. Now, that, you know, it's obviously a tuba is going to have a very different sound than an oboe and a flute and all these things. Your body is literally the instrument, your essence.
That's
your ego.
Really.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, I mean, I'm hoping to get attuned to Reiki as well. So
oh, yes.
I'm glad I can get a little more like insider info before I start.
So, you know, that's where the paradox is. And I think that's, you know, truth be told, you can break that down actually as the main differences in the dichotomy between Western versus Eastern culture. I think these cultures, because of the world we're living in, are going to come together in a very particular way. And they're going to create a huge superculture. But we also must be careful that when we put these things together, that we don't dilute the best parts of the cultures when they are separate. Mm-hmm. That is essentially the idea between people who do things universally to respect every culture individually and how they come in tandem together, as opposed to just blurring the lines together and cherry picking what it is you want. Now, I'm not saying don't find the things that work for you, but I am saying that there is something to be said about, you know, especially in certain cultures that have spiritualities that are indigenous or endangered, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. you know, you should learn that culture and you should respect it, because
yes.
there aren't that many people, especially, like, you know, when I get into topics of like Haitian voodoo.
Yeah. Basically just don't have that colonizing mentality where you're like, I like this, I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
Instead
don't
of, like, respecting it.
Yeah. Don't do that. That's first of all,
cool.
That's not nice. Like, come on. But, and, you know, truth be told, it's where a lot of It's where a lot of prejudice can come from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people would think that in the more enlightened spiritual communities that there would be no such thing as prejudice, but you'd be surprised the things that we've seen.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah. But we will leave it at that. Truth be told, yeah. that would probably be a darker perspective to talk about during a particular podcast, talk about all the experiences we've had with people who have been prejudiced.
I guess if
in a spiritual sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say definitely get your sage ready to cleanse yourself after that one. But
take a nice cleansing bath.
Salts.
But yes, so that is at a bare minimum, you know, at a glance, in a generalization of what it is I have in mind when Reiki came my way in its particular in the form it is that I feel it and understand it.
Yeah.
So yes.
And I mean, it's important that you respect the original form and you're just kind of
and understand
it
where
yourself.
It comes from.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's really the most important thing. Yeah. So I mean, that's great.
I'm going to so you want me to elaborate further into what it is my views, what it is I do.
Yeah, that would be great. Because we actually have a few more minutes before I would have to go to the commercial. So, go ahead and let us know. And then after the commercial, we're going to be doing the session thing. So, yeah.
So, essentially what it is I do, technique-wise, drink, I suppose, is I like to combine Reiki with actual ceremonial spellcraft.
Unique.
Yes. Well, and that came to me, and then I actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. It was reaffirmed by a wonderful author and magic user. Many of you probably know him from the Temple of Witchcraft, Christopher Penzack.
Yeah. We actually have him on Instagram, so shout out to him.
Very, very, very nice, down-to-earth, and incredibly intelligent individual. We'd love to meet you one day in person, along with the many other authors that we reference on this podcast. In his book of Reiki, truth be told, I think I still have that in front of me. Give me a brief moment. Yeah, it's actually sitting right here. Yes, The Magic, spelled with a K, of Reiki.
Ooh.
Focused energy for healing, ritual, and spiritual development. It is a purple book that has the Japanese iconography in front.
Remind me to get a picture of that. Oh, also, speaking of reviews that we've gotten on Apple Podcasts, I'm forgetting the exact name, but I think it's like Batgirl or something. The most recent review we had. Thank you for calling us out on having a place to post the books that we talk about, because we're always like recommending books to you guys. I post them in the Facebook page. I mean, on the Facebook page, the Spellcast Podcast one. So I am just terribly behind because of just all of the work and everything that I give myself to do with all the different projects that I'm in. So apologies for not being super up to date with that. But if there's a particular book you want and the description isn't good and you need like the photo or additional information, personally reach out to me, but I am updating all the information on the Spellcast Podcast page because that's where the show notes are. I know typically show notes are in iTunes, but we go through Anchor, and I just didn't want to have the bio filled up with like all the books and stuff, so I do it on a separate thing on the Facebook page. So go ahead and like the Facebook page, and then you can get access to all that info, and if you need it sooner than I can update it, just let me know, and I have pictures of all the books too. So continue.
Yes, so I'm actually currently searching through the book because Christopher Penzack is obviously a magic user, especially from a he is very well educated in Eastern and Western philosophies, though he's definitely a Westerner, unless there's something I really don't know about his personal life.
What are you looking for?
I'm actually, you know, I'm trying to look for the many different styles of Reiki. If you could actually find it in the table of contents for me, and I'll continue on, and I can tell everyone literally all these new styles of Reiki that have been developed and are still being developed, which again implies a touch of your own a touch of your own ego on a subject because you're putting in your style, your interpretation.
There's crystal Reiki. Reiki and plant magic in the future, Reiki? Is that what you're
looking for? Oh, well, yes, that's... Oh, so those are types. Okay, so essentially, yes, you can use a Reiki. You could use crystals in particular to enhance the Reiki process. You can burn herbs or use herbs as another channel to amplify the effects of Reiki. Much like magic, I mean, Reiki, it's really kind of interesting. I know a few Reiki practitioners who have never practiced any sort of spellcraft in their life. And they usually come off very surprised when I say, well, literally, this is exactly how magic is explained. So,
did you want to do color magic? What were you looking for?
It's literally all sorts of different types of Reiki. It's like style. It should be in styles or something. New traditions of Reiki.
New traditions. Yes,
page 113. Yes. What I like to do is I like to, sometimes I use my wand to direct energy or my athame, depending on it, what it is I'm trying to do. I try to cleanse negativity out of people at the same time while letting the Reiki do its work. Now,
look at these.
Yes.
Shamanic Reiki, Chaos Reiki.
Shamanic.
Sorry, I said that wrong. Magnified Healing, Blue Star, Wei Chi, Tibetan Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute.
There should be, the Shambhala Reiki or Shambhala Multidimensional Reiki Healing.
Teramai.
Teramai Reiki and Teramai Sechim. I'm not sure how that one is pronounced. There is Karuna Reiki, Maha Karuna, and Karuna Ki.
That's a lot.
Usui Shiki Ryoho. Usui Ryoho is the tradition that I have been attuned in. Is Usui Reiki Ryoho? Oh, yeah. Usui Reiki Ryoho is the tradition that I have been attuned in. There's standard Usui Tibetan Reiki. There's the Radiance Technique. There is standard Sehim. And the list goes on. It keeps growing. So you can certainly combine things as... if you know they go together, but you know, much like music, you know, that's kind of what a lot of good types of music is. You learn all the rules, so you'll know how they will work when you mix them together with other types of systems. So that is a giant motivator for me to combine it in a variety of ways, which has had a decent amount of success with the many amounts of clients that I've had since being attuned to Reiki. Now, I did other types of healing magic before I was attuned to Reiki. Truth be told, I'm always a fan of the healing techniques from Ted Andrews, who I'm certain those of you very much know for his books on spirit animals, but yeah, very attuned to healing. He was very in tune with understanding music, color, all sorts of artistry. That's the thing. It's artistry. It's understanding the core aspects that make up existence. And that is what it is magic is all about. So you can't go wrong studying these things.
Yeah.
Though I can't guarantee that the more you study that you won't go delightfully mad, because I'm kind of there sometimes.
No guarantees there, Alice.
So, yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
But...
Are you just about ready?
Almost.
Okay.
So, usually in I've had such unique experiences. Reiki makes you more empathetic but also protects you. I think I described this in the last in the podcast with my Reiki master, the lovely Kate Gajewski. But I will restate it again that when I was attuned to Reiki, not only did I see very particular symbols, I saw very glowing violet energy, which was interesting because there is something called the violet breath that exists within Reiki that is a part of the attunement process. I saw a golden Bowen knot. I saw Jesus of Nazareth crucified on a hill from an aerial scene, which I see that every so often, and it's an interesting thing. But we'll go into the connections that I have with that thing. Entity. Yeah, no, that's a whole audiobook dissertation. And since then, I felt like there is this perpetual white aura this extra layer on top of my already existing large aura that people tell me that I have and that I feel very constantly. And when I ask the Reiki to flow, it really starts to flow. Now it's always there passively. And then when you ask it to flow, it starts to activate.
It starts to
be active. And it also, you can use Reiki to really help out any of your spells. You can do it on yourself, and you know, doing it on myself is a very interesting process. There's an interesting dichotomy between doing it on myself versus having another person do it on me. Each have their own particular benefits. Reiki can be amplified by many different things. All the elements in particular, like, you know, air, water, fire, earth. You can do Reiki, you can sit in the bathtub and do Reiki on yourself by blessing the water. A lot of people have had a lot of different visions when doing Reiki. You can channel any particular god or spirit or entity. You could ask them to guide you. That's in one of the traditional prayers that you say beforehand when you channel the energy and you open yourself up to receive it and be blessed by it. You can do a wide variety of things. And I can get into that further after our break, but I'll tell some of the visions that I've had. I've had one client whose third eye was very, very, there was something blocking it badly. And I sensed that when I was talking to them. But then I had held my hand over their forehead while I was beginning to work on them and I was scanning. And I started getting so nauseous, like I had a migraine. I almost threw up right on them, which would have soured them on the next appointment. So thankfully, I have a good constitution. My other friend had a very underactive, incredibly underactive third chakra. So the navel chakra, which has to do, you know, with the color yellow, has to do with your ego, your passion, the element of fire, your self-esteem, how you see yourself in the world, your motivation, your sense of self-worth, etc. And I always told him, like, it feels like there's a black hole there. And lo and behold, when I went to scan it, it felt like there was a black hole pulling me in. So the Reiki was channeled to heal that and change the poles of it. But there's also, you can let Reiki flow without even thinking about it. In fact, sometimes that helps. But you can also amplify it by being aware of that feeling and creating a combination of that with visualization and connection through spellcraft. So essentially what I visualize is I visualize and feel the Reiki coming for me from above. I also tend to draw energy from the earth through my feet. And then I draw my energy and I imagine my aura. So kind of like almost the colors from the Jewish Tree of Life, the Kabbalah. Shout out to Mystic Yatcha. The bottom, Malkuth, I believe, is represented by the color of the rainbow. And the top of the Tree of Life, which the name of it is escaping me, is white. But think about the color spectrum and the prism. You know, when you shine a light through the perfect crystal, the entire color spectrum shines. So it's quite literally as above, so below. But these things are one and the same, just recognized differently. So it begs the question, is one thing actually evil and one thing good? Or is this just existence? I'm more inclined to believe the latter. So I think that should be enough of an explanation as to what it is I do and why it is I feel that way. I've also, in my visions and everything, I've felt a great deal of...
It's okay.
Yes, I felt a great deal of push to do what it is that I'm doing from all the higher powers. And it seems to be working for everyone, knock on wood. If anyone else wants anything in particular from me, I can certainly help. I like to combine these ideas with a variety of things. There's hands-off Reiki. There's touching Reiki. I usually think that touch is often more resonant, but sometimes you work with people who have real boundary issues and they need to be worked through things slowly, which is perfectly fine. I'm also a fan of the Chinese art of reflexology. That is something that I study and also fascinates me incredibly. And when combined with magical healing, actually does wonders. in my experience. So, that being said,
So, thank you so much for sharing. I hope everyone has enjoyed that. And now on to the exciting part. Well, after the commercial, but we're going to go to commercial, and then after that is the exciting part. So, between, you know, Magic Podcast Land, you're going to hear it in seconds, but it's actually going to be probably about an hour or so. Andrea is going to do a Reiki session for me, and we'll let you know how it goes. So, thanks, guys. See you in a bit. And welcome back. That was a few seconds for you guys, but almost 24 hours for us. So, I know, I'm sorry. We said we were going to get it on Friday, but life keeps happening. And so anyway, we're back. Yay. So now we're going to be talking about the post-Reiki session. Part of what happened was we also did it until quite late into the night, and then we're too tired to talk about it after, and it might have sounded like some weird half dream if we recorded. So we want to make sure that it is cohesive as possible and that you guys can understand what happened. So it was very interesting, the Reiki session, because like Andrea said, he mixes magic along with that. He had his own visions as well as things that I saw and I sensed. So we'll kind of go over both. I don't know, Andrea, if you want to start with yours or we'll start with mine first.
Why don't we start with yours? Okay. And then we'll jump into mine. I wrote it down. I typed it down into my phone, so I'm going to look at. I mean, I remember most of it, but I just want to make sure it's in order.
Yeah. No, that's what I did too, because I want to make sure I remembered everything as it was. So with Reiki, in case anybody doesn't know, I usually start at the head. So he started at the crown and went to my third eye. But around my crown, as soon as he started, I felt as though the room was full of people. Now, my eyes were closed, but I just had this sense and like this third eye vision that the room was just filled with spirits or people. I don't know what they were. They didn't really speak or do anything. They didn't have a malicious sense about them either. They were good. They were good spirits, whatever they were. Now, I don't know if they were spirit guides of mine, possible past lives, things that Melissa from The Haunted Ride has talked about before kind of made me think that maybe that was the case, because she says that her spirit guides are always with her and in some rituals have come out and shown themselves. So that's possible. It was very interesting. They all kind of appeared as like, they didn't really have defined features. They were just kind of like these bluish silhouettes of people. And I didn't see them. I just kind of felt that they were there alongside Andrea. When Andrea was by my heart and he was working on the chakra there, my chest, I felt like a lot of energy, like I could feel the energy he was putting into it. I kind of had like a rush of energy there. And during like most of it, I always noticed that I thought it was me and like the way I was situated while laying down, but I think it's just kind of what happens during Reiki for me. My whole body tends to like twitch, and like especially my feet and my legs.
If somebody all I need to do is put fake electrodes in my hand and it would look like I was giving you like electroconvulsive therapy.
Which is interesting because like, you know, I mean, I feel it. So I wonder how it looks to Andrea. For some reason, it must be the energy. We kind of deduce that it's the energy he's putting through me that's pulsing and my whole body is feeling. And I don't know if you guys have ever had that thing where your legs like sort of fall asleep and then they twitch. And I thought it was that at first, but there's really kind of no reason for that to happen because I'm laying flat and my feet are being supported and everything. So our deduction is that it's the energy and, you know, it's my body's response to it. And everyone that gets Reiki has different responses to that. So, and also, obviously, Andrea and I are very close, so I'm sure the energy is just extra strong, I guess, and I'm extra, like, open to whatever he's sending out. And then when he was near my sacral chakra, I saw an orange tabby cat walking around, like, in my mind. And it went between, like, black and orange. And I can't remember where it started. It might have been a black cat first and then was an orange cat.
Just or if they were two. You're telling me that Garfield...
No, it wasn't a fat orange cat. It was a skinny orange cat. But so that's interesting because, you know, we think that the cat is my spirit animal. I saw a house cat. I didn't see a wild cat.
Well, for those of you who know the sacral chakra, the color in that area is orange.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, you know, it's orange. An orange
tabby.
And a pussycat was by the...
oh, my God.
The vaginal area. It's, you know, what are the odds, right?
There's a lot of weird symbolism happening here. And is my spirit animal. So, well, I guess when Andrea explains what he was feeling, it'll kind of bring more of a whole picture to what was going on. And then when I was lying on my stomach and he was working on my back, I kind of finally felt that settled feeling of peace, what you get like after meditation or yoga. So that was really nice. And I just remember like being really, really chill and like empty, but like in a good way, in like a peaceful, relaxed way. So yeah. And then always in Reiki, I feel like it's just that meditative state. So it's interesting because I try to remember as much as possible. And like, I would love to like just say things out loud and have Andrea journal them because I don't want to like, you know, disrupt whatever's going on. But I want to remember things, but I also want to be there in the moment. So it's hard because, like, you know, I'm trying to keep these things in my memory, but it's meditative state. So it's almost like dreaming where you might not be able to hold on to everything. So those are the things I remember. And hopefully the more we do this, the better I'll get, where I'll be able to kind of store those things away and then also relax and be in the meditative state and not have to worry about losing my visions. So that's kind of it about what happened to me. I really like having Reiki done, and I'd love to have it done more in the future. I'm also going to the chiropractor now, so I'm really working on keeping like my body healthy, going to the gym. So all together, I think my body is just doing a lot better, and it's doing a lot for my spirit as well. But Andrea, you want to tell them your experience?
Yes, if you could just hold this up to me up there so I don't have to... So, essentially, when I was by your crown, I saw what looked like, the word's escaping me. It's not a sutra. At least I don't think it's a sutra. Wait, let me.
Oh, it's like a symbol, you mean?
Yeah.
That you saw?
Yes. Hold on 1 second.
You can look it up. It's okay.
I'm looking up what the... Nope, a sutra is a... I'm mixing up words now. That's the sutra is a type of writing.
It's like Kama Sutra.
Yeah. Wow, what is the name of it?
It's not like a chakra symbol, right?
No, it's not a mandala. It's not a mandala. It's another sacred type of symbol that you see that can hold like sacred symbol.
You didn't have it written down?
I forgot the word yesterday and I didn't bother to look it up yesterday. And I forgot
that's
it
okay,
until
we
now.
Can put it in show notes.
Oh, look, long story short, imagine a horizontal square and then a sideways vertical pointing square inside that horizontal square. And then both those squares were surrounded by a circle. So sacred geometry. And I also saw something else that was in there, but it was kind of hard to make out.
Any colors or anything?
No, just those particular symbols. As I, which to me implied some sort of balance and harmony that would finally start to happen. I had witnessed, let me see, sorry.
Is that your notes?
Yes. When I had made my way, to your face and your third eye, that was when I had the most vivid vision. I saw the Wheel of Fortune, but it was. I saw the Wheel of Fortune, like, you know, the Wheel of Fortune on TV.
The tarot card?
Well, that's the thing, though, is that it lends itself...
Well, it's the same idea.
The symbolism comes from that greater symbolism. And it, like, landed on it. You know, like, the weird, like, strip one that's, like, bankrupt, $1 million bankrupt?
Yeah.
It, like, landed on the $1 million thing.
Well, that's good. Am I going to get $1 million?
I mean, that'd be nice. That would certainly benefit the both of us.
I would think prosperity in general. Oh, and my friend actually did a
a pendulum reading for me and said I would be prosperous this year, so yeah, maybe so that's what it is.
Hopefully. So yes, the number 1,000,000 certainly means something. There's also, it lent itself to looking up the symbolism itself of the Wheel of Fortune. And the Wheel of Fortune, the key words that you tend to think of when you think of the Wheel of Fortune is, you know, karma, life, the cycles of life, destiny, good luck amplified by a turning point, a very key pivotal turning point, which could make sense. I mean, like, your energy was going in a certain place and you've needed this for a while. And
yeah,
now that you have, you know, if we've turned the, that's a big reason why a lot of my clients tend to come to me is kind of have a turning point, a shift in the poles of their energy to kind of cause stability where they need to be. The Wheel of Fortune is very reminiscent of a lot of symbolism. So you think, like, you know, Hebrew, the references to Yahweh. There's also the word the Torah. There's the tarot, rota, even for the Latin word for wheel, literally, you know, the Wheel of Fortune. The alchemical symbols of mercury, water, salt, and sulfur.
And I also know that with the Wheel of Fortune, that it's not like any, you don't really miss things. It's just kind of like you have to wait till the next turnaround. Like, there's always opportunity. It's never a, oh, you fail.
Yes.
Which always comforts me.
There's no bankrupt on the actual Wheel of Fortune. There's references to the Egyptian god Typhon. There is the, you know, the snake, Anubis, so the Sphinx, the four key fixed signs of the zodiac. The only other time you see that in the tarot is the last card, you know, the World card.
My zodiac.
So certainly opportunities and things that come that way, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, your third eye actually starts working in a way that benefits you a little bit more. Now, did you actually have any rough encounters with any spirits last night? I don't think you did, because you would have told me. So that was probably the first...
No, I didn't. I had, like, vivid dreams. I'm supposing my dream is relevant. Now, I had a dream about these twin girls, but they're at work. It's not, like, creepy shining twin girls. So it was just... You know how your brain never makes anything up? They were probably just whatever my brain thought of. Mm-hmm. But I was in a mansion, but it was, like, an 80s mansion, because there was, like, pillars in the inside and stuff. It was, like, a very, like, weird design. But I remember walking out of the back door and there was a beach, like, down a couple, like, feet down, whatever. And there was a whole bunch of people there with me, and they're like, oh, we want to go to the beach. And I was like, okay. And I go to step on the sand, and then I go to get in the water, but I realize I had glasses on. By the way, I wear contacts a lot. I don't really wear my glasses, but I have glasses. But I was like, oh, I have my glasses. I don't want my glasses to get knocked away in the waves, and I want to be able to swim. So I was like, I'm going to go put my contacts in. I'll be right back. So I go in the house, and I'm in the bathroom trying to put my contacts in. I had dreams like this before that I couldn't get them in. Like, my right one wasn't staying in for some reason, and I was getting really frustrated, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose all this time. But it doesn't make sense, because even if you had trouble with your contacts, what, you lose at max 5-10 minutes of your life? Like, you know what I mean? But I lost, like, enough time that everyone was coming back from the beach, and I was like, no, I still want to go in the water. And so I was just going to go by myself, and then my dream just kind of ended. But I had that anxiety of, like, not getting there in time. And I had a dream the night before about also not getting to work on time. So I feel like my subconscious is worried about missing out on something. But the water is always emotional. So I suppose that had to do maybe with the Reiki session. There was some kind of emotional thing happening.
Yes. So continuing on with the symbolism that... you said something about the name Zeldin. It's a new dream.
Oh, well, that's a local politician.
Oh. So that was... That was interesting. So perhaps we're, who knows, right? we're gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, we're not gonna point out anything. It wasn't a bad dream, just
right.
To be fair.
No, I don't.
But that name means anything. So honestly, it could be like, oh, it happens to be the name of a local politician.
Symbolism of
the
name, yes.
Yeah, it could just be the name that means something.
I got a phrase that your communication is directly related to your third chakra, you know, and your self-worth and everything. So in that sense, you're kind of similar to our other friend who I will keep off this for posterity reasons, but you can tell by looking in my eyes you know who it is. powerful charge. I felt a powerful surge of energy happen when I was around your sacral chakra. When I was working in that particular area.
Mm.
That might change the poles of some things, so I wouldn't be surprised if that any of the feelings that surround that area are affected in a way that's unusual.
Because I feel like that wasn't strong last time.
When I was by your feet, they were showing me interesting colors. Or go.
Sorry, really quick. Did anything seem out of balance before you started? Like, what were the things that were low to, like, overactive, underactive?
Not ridiculous. It's just your lower stuff. I think you just need... You have selective things that balance you and selective things that you avoid that you need balance in. It's mainly like your root. Like, you were in kind
Which
of a similar...
Which is weird, because I'm earthy.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that, like, you know, there are certain things about yourself that I don't think you're embracing.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you can get to that later.
Yes. I was seeing interesting colors. You were also very much resisting me when you were when I was by your feet.
That's weird.
Since it's similar... Oh, yes, your back was also a problematic area, which leads me to believe that there are things, it's one of two things or a combination of two things, either things from your past that you won't let go, that keep bothering you, that are being shouldered on you, things that are behind you, things that you physically can't see. Think of the symbolism there.
Oh, I really don't have anything attached to me.
And also the fact that there is probably also like your unconscious side, and your unconscious and your subconscious, mostly your unconscious, you know, things about yourself that you don't know about that are what is hurting you. So you probably would be good for you if you do some sort of meditation that kind of unlocks those sort of things. Remember why people cross paths with me in particular. Like, find the dark side, make peace with it, unite it with your light side, and then use it to transcend yourself. Become fully of who you are.
It's something attached to me, right?
I didn't sense anything attached to you. The worst thing I ever had was a person who's like their third eye made me want to vomit.
Oh yeah.
Like, but I was able to heal that. So if I
I'm just saying because of that dream I had. Actually, it's not a dream. Sorry. I saw like a hooded figure shadow person thing, and I think I might have mentioned this on another episode, but I felt like it was talking to me in my head, and I told it to, like, go away and leave me alone because it was making me uncomfortable. And
it was speaking some sort of gibberish, was it not?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing with spirits and stuff is they can't exactly talk English sometimes, or speak English, rather, or whatever language it is you speak. So they try to communicate in the best way they know possible. And I was hearing words, but it was gibberish. It didn't make any sense to me. But I think it was trying to communicate with me. And I just was worried that because it got so close that it could have attached itself to me somehow. But as long as you're not sensing anything, then I'm fine. It's just been a worry of mine because I know that's possible. So, yeah, but if you don't sense it, then that's fine. I'm good. So what else then, I guess, after my feet?
Oh, no, well, that, well, yes, and yeah, your back. Oh, my back. Your back is, so I sealed up there. Dug into certain things.
Well, I did feel at peace after you did whatever on my back, so I guess it helped.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you got it.
So thanks.
Well, yeah, there's something you got. I've been telling you this for a while, and it's just like, now that I sense it, you know, in ritualized setting, now all of a sudden you're taking me seriously.
Don't give me sass. No, what? I always take you seriously. I give excuses to mundane things and I let it get the best of me.
You got it. Literally, it's like 5 minutes, though.
Well, to be fair, I did do some mindfulness meditation the other day because of work.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because of work, you need to
outside of work. But it counted.
You need to do it outside. You got to do, and, you know, there are certain things that you have to be okay with doing without me.
So. Yeah, well, that counted. I don't mind doing meditation. I think I just do the best with guided meditation, because then I don't have stupid thoughts that interrupt, like, my on-track thoughts.
Well, that's why you do mantra. When you're saying a particular mantra and you're focused on something and you use that in spellcraft, you it can prevent, you know, the background noise in your head.
Honestly, the Tibetan bowl thing almost made me feel like overwhelmed. I don't know if it helped. I was like, this is too much.
Oh, yeah, well, sometimes the Tibetan singing bowls are meant to bring you to a higher frequency. But if you're already in like a place of higher frequency, like your thing is, it's about being grounded. It's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yours is about finding who you see. You and I actually have very similar things going on, but we're polar in this sense. Is that I need things to be grounded so I can tap into my already higher power. You need things to be grounded because that's who you are.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So think about our group dynamic as a coven. I tend to be the catalyst and the motivator and the glue that keeps everyone together and rolling, and y'all help me kind of give a place to put all this crap.
Well, yeah, because you're not...
Each has its place.
Yeah, you're not always grounded. So well,
and if you also know anything else about me, friends, you know, those of you who really know me, there's a significance with the symbolism of lower body parts. I'm not being coy. I'm being very serious. But, you
well,
know...
Well, it's in your astrological chart.
Well, yes. Well, that's a get-to-know-me. That's a
Patreon podcast.
That's a
That's a Patreon podcast. Mm-hmm. If they want to get that personal. But hey, you know, sometimes they ask for it, so be careful what you wish for, I guess.
Yes, very much so.
But yeah, so
you seem to have a good response to the Reiki symbols.
Good.
Every time I say you're incredibly sensitive to these things, so you're not like numb to it. But
I always feel like I'm really sensitive.
I think you have, yeah, but here's my thing with you. I think your awareness has a hard time catching up to your intuitive senses. Like, I think your body reacts and you don't realize it until much later, like consciously, in a way that you can explain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's another example of what I mean when I say I think you're living as two different people, kind of like Kami and Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z. We've
you made like this reference before.
Well, I mean, it works. They separated and they lost a lot of power. I mean, it was for what it is they needed to do at the time, but when they united, they were much more powerful.
Well,
so
Andreal does help me with this, but if anyone has any suggestions on how to unite yourself, I would be much appreciative. Be very appreciative of that. So
sometimes a second opinion or an opinion explained in a different way is... can go along.
Yeah, or just in addition. Like, I'll do it in addition to the things that you've suggested to me. It's just nice. I mean, honestly, you can't have too much of a good thing. Well, you can, but never mind. But, I mean, in this case, like, you know, like you said, different opinion or just different way of doing things or just adding it on. I mean, I want to improve this. I want to balance myself out. I want to gain more power and things like that. So if anyone has any suggestions or personal things they've tried or, you know... Artemis keeps falling.
The lovely doll.
Yeah.
Lovely spirit doll.
From Historia Occulta Shop. If you guys want amazing dolls, protection dolls, you and Mandrake dolls, you have to go to her shop on Instagram and Etsy. She's the best. And Artemis is, like, amazing. So, yeah, anything else to say about the Reiki?
I believe that's pretty much it in regards. Yours was one of the more straightforward and subtle ones, believe it or not.
I think it also kind of helps that I'm a little, like, in tune. A lot of people you work with really aren't in tune with spiritual stuff. You're kind of bringing them there.
Yes.
So I think it's a different kind of
experience. Oh, an incredibly different dynamic.
Yeah.
So different levels.
And not to sound arrogant, sorry. I didn't come off weird.
You know, for that reason, you might be more of a pain in the ass to work with.
Oh, because I know.
You heard me, son.
Yeah, so I guess that about wraps it up. I hope you guys really enjoyed hearing about a personal Reiki experience. I enjoyed sharing it. It's cool. It's nice to share it with like-minded people and, you know, to talk about stuff like that. So,
Thing we can recommend is try as many. If you have a few Reiki masters, you know, try around.
Yes.
Like, much like anything, the energy is universal, but how it's resonated can be very different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something to be said that there are some people who use, again, direct Reiki or certain styles of Reiki or those who combine it with ceremonial spellcraft and witchcraft.
Yeah, you could try all different styles and see what kind of works best with you. And the person, too. I'm sure your energies, I mean, Reiki is about channeling it, but, you know, I'm sure the way that certain people do things, it just jives better with other people. That's our cool Reiki, personal Reiki episode. If you guys like this and you want us to do more stuff like that, let us know. We're on Instagram
witchy page. You can find us. I also have witchy page on Facebook, though it's not as related to the podcast. Sometimes it is, because sometimes like I'll automatically post things from Instagram to witchy page, and it'll be about Spellcast. So you can catch some stuff there, but that's just my general witchy page. Huh, get it? And you can also find us on Facebook, Spellcast Podcast, the Facebook page, and the private Facebook group if you want to join. We do still have the tarot class going. I just have to get back into it. We were doing the Fool. We just never got to do the video we wanted.
We'll actually have to sit down and help you all out with that as well.
Yes.
From a standard right away perspective.
Yes. So we have to put our stuff together and our knowledge together and really get that out for you guys. Hopefully we'll have new topics once a month. I'm thinking that's doable.
To give y'all an example of, to give y'all an abridged list of what it is we do outside of this podcast. We run, obviously, a wood and stone crafting business with another friend of ours. Well, Ignatius.
The Craft Crossroads.
Yes, the Craft Crossroads, yes. I am a vocal performer who has traveled around the country and has toured in Europe. I am still in budding parts of my career. I work with opera, musical theater, pop, and jazz, all of which have very different techniques to them and very different clienteles. So there's all the traveling and everything in between on top of all the practice and artistic thought that is paired with magic. The idea is very much allied. There's reading, keeping up with all of these crafts in particular.
Yeah, knowledge.
Applying them in practice, constantly reiterating.
Our holidays that we have to celebrate.
Yes, our holidays that we... Well, it's not that we have to.
I didn't mean have to celebrate, but the holidays that we do celebrate.
Yes, which there are many. I am also a Brazilian jiu-jitsu martial artist.
Our mundane jobs.
Yes, Vamos Mixed Martial Arts, the Vamos Brothers, many wonderful professors that teach me, wonderful black belts. So I compete in that whenever I can. Gotta get the aggression out. I work in the world of professional wrestling every so often. As a variety of character, I have obviously Reiki clients, spiritual. I help with spiritual guidance, so people come to me for that. I teach in that regard.
And then we do tarot readings too. I book a couple tarot readings.
Also all sorts of divinations, spell witch for hire.
Which you guys can do on witchy page, actually, if you want to have a tarot reading done or pendulum reading or anything else by either of us, you can schedule an appointment on the Facebook page. So go ahead and do that. Witchy page is connected to my calendar, so it'll automatically put it in. And I've done a few tarot readings, which have been great. And as anybody can tell you, it says that they last about an hour, and that's kind of like the rate for the certain cards, but I don't keep track of time. I'll never hold you to it. I'm just going to go with whatever you need to get done.
Everyone in our coven reads the cards very differently, so hey, try everything out.
Yeah, we all have different decks, so if there's a deck you would like, or, I know Ignatius has the Wildwood Tarot.
The Wildwood Tarot.
Yes. And I have the Animal Totem.
He also has some Celestial Tarot now.
He got a new one. We have to ask about that one. And then Andreal has the Rider-Waite. And they both have pendulums you can use. So we have a lot of different things. Awesome. And then our mundane jobs, too, keep us busy. Mine's full-time, so I really only have off on the weekends.
I, outside of all the teaching of voice and magic that I do, I also teach underprivileged kids music. I help them with their homework. And they've also have an affinity for ancient Greek and the zodiac signs. They're interested in learning about themselves, so... that's an investment every week, that's well worth it. There's much more. I mean, we cook, we garden, we're developing our own culture. We're also in the process of moving into a house, which will have a decent amount of work to be put in it as well. I'm literally also called into any sort of work for music, acting, modeling, etc. at any point. So,
we got a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, we're living life, you know.
Yeah,
and
we obviously love doing the podcast. It's a really big thing for us. So thank you guys for listening and really being accepting of our schedule and understanding of our schedule, because we do love you just as much as anything else we do. We really love this podcast. We appreciate having this platform, meeting all of our new friends. So we hope you never feel like you're on the back burner, because you're not. You're just as important to us as the rest of the things that we do. And we actually have a couple new members to the Spellcast podcast group. So welcome, everybody. If you want to join, feel free. It's a private group, so you can say whatever you like, and everyone there is wonderful and open-minded, and there are rules, so don't ever feel nervous or scared about sharing your beliefs or anything like that. We are very open-minded and love to talk to you about whatever it is you believe and wherever you come from. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at SpellcastPod. The Twitter community is wonderful, actually. We belong to a really cool Spooky Pod Squad group, and they are fabulous. So thank you, everyone that retweets all of our stuff, likes our stuff, comments, and is part of the group that you know, thank you, actually, for all of the reviews. I'll actually read some new reviews that we've had, which is cool. So we appreciate that. If you guys review us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever you listen, that's really appreciated, because it helps us out. And actually, I looked up our ratings as like a podcast as a whole, like there's categories and stuff. And I'm forgetting the name of the website, even though Melissa told me. But we're number 325 in Finland under the spirituality category.
In Finland? Oh, man, that's interesting.
And then we're number like 9-something in the spirituality category in the United States. But we're relatively new, so yeah. That's fine. And spirituality is a very big,
Well, that's certainly an umbrella term.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of all different kinds of spirituality, so it's...
Well, I suppose we must step category. Up our game a little bit. Maybe the time of the crude episodes are over. I don't know. I guess it's what the fans want.
And so I, just in case I didn't go back that far, I'm just going to say everything from February. I think I did thank everybody. But whatever, you get another one. So thank you to Ari LaMontagne from Pop Culture Mythology. She reviewed us. Lovely review. Super appreciate it. She's great. Check her out as well. Jess May Care, thank you very much. Ghost Lyric, thank you. ABP Finance, Snafood Podcast, thank you guys. You should definitely check out their podcast. It's great. The Carol Sisters, you got to check them out. They're awesome. And also Batgirl 64, she did give us an awesome review, but she asked us to include the names of books and people that we mentioned in the podcast, the episode notes section. So I will tell you that I am a little behind on that, and I apologize, but I think I mentioned this in the first half of this episode, actually, possibly, or I just thought about it, but I include show notes on the Facebook page, the Spellcast Podcast Facebook page, so you can go there for the book listings, photos of the books. Yes, I did mention this in the beginning. So you can check that out, and that's where I have all the show notes. I don't put the show notes up on Apple Podcasts or Anchor. So, but if you guys would prefer that, you just let me know. It probably would make less work for me, though I am a little behind. So if there's anything new or a recent episode you want to see the book or know more about it, let me know. I'll just give it to you guys personally. You can follow us on any social media, or you can email us, witchypage@gmail.com. As you can tell, I kind of cross over a lot of my business stuff, so I didn't see a sense in making another email just now, but I might if it kind of becomes overrun or, you know, very busy. But for now, it's been fine and makes things a little bit easier for me. So you can email us there for any personal stories, because we'd love to do another listener episode. It was great the first time around. We had a lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed it. So let us know. I mean, we'll take paranormal experiences, spiritual experiences, even, you know, if it's like a Christian retreat, or it's something that isn't Christian, or it's a different religion, or it's pagan, anything is fine.
The truth be told, I mean, we're going to have another episode about my journeys again through the Bible.
Yes.
Just finishing up the book of Judges. I'm reading it cover to cover again. And That book is always interesting, much like any other spiritual lore.
Yeah. Andreal has his own email, so if there's anything you want to discuss with him, it's andreal@gmail.com. You can find him there. But the witchy page one, you send us your paranormal, spiritual, witchy stories, whatever it is. Even if you guys do your own rituals or something interesting you just want to share with us, go ahead. We'd love to have it on a listener episode. You can tell us about your altar, your personal rituals, your holidays you celebrate, and we'll talk about it. That'd be cool. So, yeah, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. So thank you guys again for listening. Thank you for following us, rating and reviewing us, just honestly being there and being supportive. Thank you to all of our Patreon members. If you do want to join Patreon and be a part of the Spellcast Coven, then you can go to patreon.com. There's a couple of different tiers. All are great and have their own perks. Everyone gets bonus content, and everyone gets to be a part of a special Snapchat group, a special Instagram chat, and a special Facebook group. So hope to see you there. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And of course, the spirits live in the mirror.